Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
All right, it's 5:35 in Edmonton. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer with the Edmonton Oilers in Seattle. Exhibition game number 6 tonight. The Oilers and the Kraken. Edmonton's got a 2-2-1 record. Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, both in the lineup. A couple of players we're going to be watching. Raphael Lavoie and Dylan Holloway. Jack Campbell starts in goal. Guests and Oilers Now receive gift certificates to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. It's the greatest steak you've ever had. You can follow the sizzle to 9990 Jasper Avenue and tell Chris, Chef Eltoff, and Brendan that Oilers Now sent you. Ruth's Chris is open Tuesday through Sunday from 5 p.m. until close. And Oilers Now Trivia brought to you all season long by Pro-Am Sports, fan cave and fan gear specialists for all budgets in Edmonton on St. Albert Trail and at proamsports.ca. All right. Well, as we mentioned earlier, today, of course, is recognizing Truth and Reconciliation Day in here on 630 CHED. And we're going to bring back a couple guys that we've had on the show in past years, including an Indigenous leader that at one time played for the legendary Bill LaForge. He's heavily involved in multiple different businesses at this time. He is our Oilers Now headliner for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It's the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. We welcome back to the show Robert Morin. Hi, Robert. It's Bob. How you doing?
Hey, Bobby. I'm doing good. How are you today?
I'm in Seattle. Quiet day yesterday. They had a team-building thing, so you know the broadcasters weren't part of that. And let me tell you, Seattle is maybe – let's just say there's some challenges in some of the cities in the United States and Canada. We all know what they are. And we saw a lot of them yesterday. Wow, it was a beautiful day, and watched a little bit of NFL, but couldn't find a sports bar, which was a little bit disappointing for me. So, anyhow, how you doing? What's going on these days for you?
A little bit of everything involved with developing the Trans Mountain project that I spoke about a year ago, and they just had a major meeting in Vancouver with a number of the Indigenous leaders out there. Getting word back that the government's getting close to considering selling some of the interest in it, but nothing definite in regards to what that really means to the First Nation participation. But we're still there. We're still interested. So,
I mean, obviously this is integral for the further development for Trans Mountain. Is that correct? Support from the and how much is there a considerable difference when you're talking about treaty land versus non-treaty?
Well, a little bit, but more importantly, I think what we're talking about is the resources. If you go to treaties and the concept of treaties and the idea of reconciliation, to me, that means reconciliation of the treaty agreements in whole,
right,
spirit and intent. So what it was a signing by our ancestors with the newcomers to share the land. We did not sell it. We did not give the rights away to it. We agreed to sell it, or not sell it, share it to the depth of a plow with the newcomers. Unfortunately, that was never fully recognized and respected by the process as it went through a couple hundred years here. And you see the ramifications from not having economic development on these First Nations and our respective nations. So we need to correct that, and that's what reconciliation is all about. So
and I know we've had this conversation privately, but when I was a kid, Harold Cardinal came to our acreage to purchase birch for my father, and my dad said, "You can just have the birch, and I'll get you to do something in a second." And at that time, he had probably published Unjust Society maybe 5 or 6 years earlier, and that was probably, would it be fair to say that was one of the most important books ever written about Indigenous affairs in this country, especially in light of what happened with John Chrétien when he was then, I believe, known as the Indian Affairs Minister, later would go on to be Prime Minister, at a time when Pierre Trudeau had taken over as Prime Minister of this country in 1968, given women the rights to choose years before Roe versus Wade in the States, had also eliminated homosexuality as a legal act. In other words, we no longer we're going to judge on those sort of issues anymore. But they kind of flew opposite in terms of being this progressive, open society with how they viewed the nature of the relationship with the Indigenous people of that time. Is that a fair assessment, Robert, do you think?
Oh yes, and I agree with all of your assessment there. I would state that it was always a hidden agenda. It's never fully recognized the treaties and what they meant in honoring those main points of sharing the land and sharing the wealth, especially the resources.
Right.
Instead, what you saw was genocide act, including the residential school and, you know, the hundreds of children that never made it home. I mean, my family and other members in our family weren't affected in that nature, but relatives of ours were, and many other relatives in the respective First Nations were affected by it and still are to this day.
Yeah.
So it takes a lot to recover from that, and it's multi-generational. So if you take, I'll add to it a little later on, Bobby, but that, I hope that answered your question there. So.
It's funny, Robert, because I've had this conversation with some of the more center-left media types, and there's a lot of them, about the impact of Harold Carnal and some of the leaders in the Indigenous community in the early 1960s. Like, these guys were, did they not go, was your father not part of this group that ended up marching in Ottawa?
Yes, he was, along with the chief of our community at the time, Raymond Carnal. So they both went down there, and a little side story to it. Late Raymond was afraid of flying in a plane at that time. So they had to travel down by train, and it took them quite a while to get there. So on the way back, my father says, I am not getting on the train with you. I'm going on a plane. So if you want to travel on the train, you go ahead. So when they got on the plane, he was very, very nervous, but he liked the plane trip so far. After that, he was doing a lot of his trips by traveling on the plane. So he overcame his fear of flying. But what they did was they went to the Parliament Hill, and they protested what was called the White Paper. And that was the lead here in the province by Harold Carnal and by, I think, Senator Sinclair was big in Manitoba at that time.
Right.
So a lot of the individuals were protesting the trend of where Trudeau was going and Mr. Kretschmer at that time. And so they went to Parliament Hill and they did a large protest then.
Yeah. We're joined right now by Robert Morin. He's an Indigenous leader in our community. You played for Bill LaForge. This is kind of how, about, what was it, 12 or 14 years ago, our conversation started. You joined us on an Oilers road trip, and we ended up having about a five-hour... I mean, I mentioned the name Bill LaForge, and right now there's probably some guys maybe that grew up and played major junior hockey, or maybe even played... The Enoch Tomahawks is where you played for Bill LaForge. Is that correct?
That's right. That was the first, what he called his first serious venture into coaching. And from coaching our team, I believe he went to, was it Oshawa?
He went to Oshawa, yeah, coaching the
coach. And then he went, yeah, Regina and then Kamloops and back to Hamilton. And he crossed a lot of young men's lives back then. But the thing about Billy was he was a very, very team-orientated individual, and he believed in hard work, so he instilled that in you. And with me, he liked my game. Period. I wasn't the most skilled guy. I wasn't the most fastest guy in the ice, but I gave him effort, and he liked that. So his PhD philosophy fit in well with me being his captain of the team at the time. So.
Well, what was it? Physical hustle, determination. Was that PhD?
Yeah, and he changed his D's around a little bit. Desire, discipline. But, you know, the whole philosophy of it was you're team-orientated to stick up for one another, to play for one another, to have pride in the jersey you're playing for, and to commit to teamwork. So once he instilled those principles in you, they carried over into your everyday life. So he demanded everybody show up in good shape for that. So.
We're joined by Robert Morin, a leader in the Indigenous community. So we're talking with the Enoch Tomahawks. Are we talking about like the 1970s, mid to late 70s, in that range?
70, 77, 78, somewhere in there, yeah.
And this was Junior B hockey, which at that time was pretty good in the Edmonton area, was it not?
Well, I compare it to, it would probably be Tier 2.
Okay.
I think Port Saskatchewan was a team in our league, and I think Timichuk, is that the right name?
Yeah, Gina Timichuk, yep.
He took that whole team and brought it into the AGHL, pretty well intact from the year before, where he played in the Capital Junior League. So that tells you the quality of the teams over there. And we, you know, we were close to competing with them, but that was before Bill's day. So his team was very aggressive, very assertive, and
to say the least.
Well, you know, but the misconception about Billy is he taught skill. He didn't just, you know, want to have everybody run everybody through the glass. He concentrated on some skill development within the team too. So
we're joined by Robert Morin. So, Robert, here's the deal. So, you know, you've had this environment where it takes teamwork. I think we kind of fundamentally understand that there's some unique challenges. Is the Indigenous community going to have to work together with the government to push Trans Mountain over the finish line, or is that basically already done at this stage? Maybe educate our listeners.
No, they need a little bit more pushing, I think. From my understanding, I wasn't at the meetings in Vancouver because we're one of the proponents pushing for the ownership of it. So they just wanted to meet with the leadership group there.
Okay.
From the nations. And my understanding, what was presented wasn't any detailed business plan, but rather a discussion that was supposed to take place that became a little bit disorganized, I'll say.
Okay.
And they promised to come back with a better presentation in 60 days. So we'll see how that goes. From that point of view, I think under the 94 action items under the reconciliation agreement that was signed off by the government under Premier Harper or Prime Minister Harper, I think action item number 92 is the corporate side. And I remember being on your show last year,
yeah,
kind of emphasizing that we need corporate Canada to also participate in getting reconciliation done. So all of these major agreements, all of these major business and natural resource development, they need to include the First Nations in a real meaningful partnership, joint venture partnership, not some mediocre, you know, percentage that just gives them a little bit of funding and stay out of our way type of deal.
Yeah.
Meaningful participation with meaningful revenue streams coming into the communities will make a difference.
Let me ask you this. We got Brian Trottier. Now, we're going to rerun a segment of the interview we did with him last year, 7 minutes. Would you think of he's probably the best Indigenous player of all time?
No question. Hero. He's one of my heroes. So he's a great example of working and staying dedicated to overcome some of the positions that he was in. And he became one of the great players of the National Hockey League.
Yeah. Was there a guy out there that you played with that maybe didn't make it to the National Hockey League that you think, because I've heard these, you know, I've heard stories from various members of the Indigenous community, hey, I played with this guy or I played against this guy back in the, this guy's a hell of a player. Do you ever recall a guy that had an incredible amount of skill and maybe didn't have the support network in place? Because Brian, we're going to hear Brian talk about how important Tiger Williams was for him when he went to junior. But was there somebody that you crossed paths with along the way, Robert, that you thought had a chance to play and maybe didn't?
Yeah, there's there's read your real quick list. I don't want to, but the one that really comes to mind in the local area is Cardinal. And Reggie played on a line with Paul Correa in college. And one hell of a player. Really good person, too. The other players that come to mind, Travis Cunningham, Jesse Dudas, Aaron Starr, Jordan Kuderpat, right from our own community. Really good hockey players. And, of course, Shane Peacock, and I think you guys have heard of him a little bit, but
yep.
He had a chance to really join the Pittsburgh Penguins in their heyday, but he got some bad advice from his player agent. Ended up not even playing in the NHL.
I remember Reggie Cardinal because he played 4 years in Maine. And you said Jesse Dudas. That's the Dudas that played up in Prince George that the Edmonton Oilers actually invited out. He was out at our camp 1 year. I remember because he was a skilled puck-moving defenseman.
I remember him more as a forward.
Oh, okay.
But he could have been a D2. I don't know. But there were other guys, and it's different eras, Bobby. Like, you know, I played in the 70s, so I played against guys that I thought were really, you know, on the borderline of being good AHL players or third, fourth line energy guys in the NHL. But, you know, to go through it, you'd have to go through like 70s, 80s, 90s. Maybe.
Okay, Robert, you're breaking. We're losing you here at the end of the conversation. I've recommended to several of the media types in town that they read The Unjust Society. You think that'd be a good start for somebody to maybe fundamentally understand some of the unique challenges and different perspectives from a historical perspective going back for, you know, 40 or 50 years here and sort of what, because we, you know, the Liberals were running the country in 1968, and a lot of people thought it was a time of incredible openness, but they kind of went counter that with John Chrétien. Do you think that'd be a good starting point with that book, with The Unjust Society?
That's one of them, yes. I would say so.
Great stuff. Let's do this again, okay?
All right, Bobby. Thanks for calling.
You bet. That is Robert Morin. He's a local Edmonton area Indigenous leader. He played for the late great Bill LaForge, who had a cup of coffee coaching the NHL with the Vancouver Canucks, and Bill's teams were tough. The team that Robert played with was the Enoch Tomahawks. You heard him. He's currently involved in the Trans Mountain Pipeline, which is a significant deal politically, as we recognize Truth and Reconciliation Day here. It was officially on the 30th of September, but we didn't have a show that day. We do have Brian Trottier coming up later on today's edition of Oilers Now. When we return, we'll hear from Edmonton Oilers head coach Jay Woodcroft and Oilers forward Raphael Lavoie. This is Oilers Now, live from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle. Welcome back, everybody. Do want to mention to you, and it is currently 5:56 in Edmonton. Bob Stauffer in Seattle. The Oilers and the Kraken tonight. It'll be an 8 p.m. puck drop. Cam Moon will have the call. Rob Brown, Reed Wilkins, Jack Michaels, all part of the Oilers Radio Network. You can join New West Travel for an exclusive road trip to Montreal to watch the Oilers play the Canadiens on a Saturday night. This package includes airfare with Porter Airlines, three nights deluxe hotel in downtown Montreal, a private suite with tickets, with food and beverages, a welcome reception with yours truly and special guests in both Edmonton and in Montreal. Experience the incredible hockey history that is Montreal in January. To be a part of this awesome Montreal road trip, call New West Travel today or go online at newwesttravel.com. You never know who's going to swing by at these events. All right. We'll head back into the Oilers Now audio vault for direct workwear as we go into the Oilers Now injury report. It's presented all season long by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. Trent Brown, of course, the best Golden Bear football player in the last 40-plus years, a two-time CFL All-Star. Jim Brown, big supporters of the Edmonton Oilers, the Edmonton Elks, U of A, Golden Bears. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. And earlier today, Oilers head coach Jay Woodcroft spoke about Brandon Sutter's retirement.
Well, first of all, I would congratulate him on an unbelievable career. Him and I and Ken had a meeting yesterday, and it's obviously an emotional time for him. You know, he's a quality person, a quality player, and for him, he made the decision that he did. We support him 100%. I think, you know, as he gets some things sorted out on his health front, he'll be a longtime NHL person in some level, whether that's a scout like some of his uncles, whether it's a player personnel person like some of his uncles, a coach like an uncle and his dad. You know, he has certain attributes that I think will serve him well as he moves forward. And the biggest thing I wanted him to feel was our support, and a great person, and wish him well.
That is Edmonton Oilers head coach Jay Woodcroft talking about Brandon Sutter's difficult decision yesterday to announce his retirement. He was in on a PTO. So the Oilers are at 33 players now in training camp. That includes, speaking of our injury report, Matthias Ekholm. He's with the team. He's out with a hip flexor. I expect him able to go when the regular season starts a week from Wednesday in Vancouver. Ryan McLeod dealt with a soft tissue issue. I also expect him could be back as early as maybe even Wednesday when the Oilers take on the Calgary Flames. Sam Gagner is going to be out a while. He had hip surgery. He is looking at starting back in the American Hockey League. It is currently 4:58 in Seattle, 5:58 in Edmonton. We are going to head off to a global news weather traffic update with James Dunn. And when we come back, as Chorus recognizes Truth and Reconciliation Day, we'll talk to the man considered by many to be the greatest Indigenous player of all time, Hall of Famer Brian Trottier. This is Oilers Now, live from Seattle.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.